This audio recording is a service of Incarnation Catholic Church, a Roman Catholic parish of the personal ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.ordinariate.org. The following sermon was preached on Wednesday, February 14th, 2024, Ash Wednesday, by Father William Doc Holliday.
For Christ, therefore, we are ambassadors, God, as it were, exhorting by us. May the words of my mouth, meditation of all of our hearts, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. I know some of you have seen it because several of you sent it to me over the past couple days, and it is quite quippy. It's a meme said, I'm going to spend Valentine's Day putting dirt on people and telling them that they are going to die. That is quippy, and it can sound sort of chuckly, but it is a cold hard truth. This is what we do today. We have ashes imposed on our heads, and we hear that formula, remember, O man, that thou art dust, and to dust thou shalt return. We have to get a reality check on our faith. Our faith is not repeating words that we read in Scripture. It is not telling stories about Jesus first and foremost. It is about living a real Catholic life. You got to start somewhere in reality. And this is what the church does on this day every year. It reorients us into the reality of what we face in this world. And those words that we hear, oh, remember, O man, that thou art dust, into dust thou shalt return, those words are from Genesis chapter 3. After the fall of Adam and Eve, God levies a bunch of punishments on Eve. He levies a bunch of punishments on Adam. And then at the end of everything, he says in culmination, remember, O man, that thou art dust, and to dust thou shalt return. It's a humbling truth. It is a humbling truth to correct primarily two things that happened in the fall of the garden. One, it's a humbling truth to correct the pride that Eve and Adam embraced in thinking that they could do what they want instead of what God had ordered. God corrects their pride. He lets them know in uncertain terms, you are not like me. You are not a spirit. You're not like the angels who are pure spirit. You are a hybrid. You have the characteristics of spirit. But at the end, you are dust, and to dust you will return. That's humiliating. They needed that. The second lesson it taught was that God does indeed absolutely mean what he says. He says, the moment you eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you will die the death. Two, physical death and spiritual death. Physical death came later on, centuries later. Spiritual death happened immediately, so he was not lying. God means what he says. We need to learn these things. We need to learn the reality of the choice that is before us. God says in the Old Testament, I give you a choice, life or death. Which do you choose? Everybody that chooses wrongly always wants to blame him or that's on the road to choosing wrong. They want to blame God for it. You have the choice. Everybody loves that free will. Everybody. But when it comes down to making the wrong choice in your free will, all of a sudden it's blame shifting. Someone else's fault. That's not reality. It's on us. We miss so often the reality of elements of our faith. Today, St. Valentine's Day. I can't wait to leave and stop hearing about death and ashes and sin and go home and have Valentine's Day and eat chocolate and read mushy cards and stuff like that. St. Valentine's Day, St. Valentine. What are we celebrating? We're celebrating a man who was beaten within an inch of his life because he wouldn't deny the faith. And then after they did that, they stoned him and then they cut off his head. That's the reality of St. Valentine's Day. Throw that card on somebody. See what kind of reaction you get. But that's the reality of the feast day today. It just happens to be on Ash Wednesday where this reality check is driven home by the church liturgically. This isn't about, hey, beat yourself up. It's about, hey, this is an exhortation to conversion. That's our Catholic life, conversion. It's an ongoing process, happening day in and day. That's why we have Ash Wednesday every single year. That's why we are humbled by those words every year, because they just don't apply to Adam and Eve. They apply to us also. We have been tainted by original sin. We have all, if we're of an age of reason, committed actual sin. And the penalty of sin is death. That is how God started everything. Here's the rule. You break it, you die. It is that simple. He integrates sin with dying. Not bad sins, all sin. He integrates sin with dying. He wants us to avoid that dying part. We're not going to avoid the physical dying part, but we can avoid the spiritual dying part. Three readings for today. Old Testament, one letter from St. Paul, and the Gospel. It is our Catholic life. The first one, from Joel. Confession. Confession. Oh no, I broke a rule. I got to go say this, that, or the other thing. Or if it's not that bad, I can just tell God I'm sorry. What is confession? Joel says, be converted to me with all your heart, in fasting, and in weeping, and in mourning. It's just not enough to be sorry. We need to walk in there in the confession with the heart of a firm purpose to mend our lives. This is being converted. And it's not a general term, being converted. The Holy Spirit speaking through the prophet says, be converted with all your heart in fasting and in weeping and in mourning. Those are the things that we have to understand. They are elements and characteristics of a true confession. Because if we have a true confession, that leads us into a sincere conversion. A conversion that is ongoing, that is not just merely, as I said before, saying words and telling stories, but a life of true conversion. That's why our Lord said in the Gospel, when you fast, be not as the hypocrites, sad. Don't disfigure your faces. It is not an admonition to never let anybody know what we're doing. It's to not make a show of it. Don't be making a big show over your fasting. You go into a restaurant and your buds are ordering the burgers and the pizzas and everything, and you order the side salad. What's wrong with you, man? You're not feeling well? No, it's Lent. Well, now, that can be a conversation starter, but other times it'd just be the eye roll. But it still opens that door to there's something different with that person. Why a side salad when you can have all this other good stuff? It's not wrong to do that in front of other people. It's wrong to do it like when you sit down at the table. Oh, I'd really like to have one of those, but I can't because I'm eating a salad because it's Lent. It's two different approaches to the same act. This is what we have to realize. We don't want to put on a show. We want to do this because we want to emulate Jesus, who didn't eat or drink for 40 days in order to begin his ministry of salvation of our souls. This is a sincere conversion. We need to be converted sincerely. Can't make show about it. It's got to be real. And then St. Paul, when we truly confess, we have a heartfelt conversion that is ongoing. The result is going to be being a true example of our Lord Jesus Christ in this world. This is why St. Paul says, for Christ, therefore, we are ambassadors, God, as it were, exhorting by us. The Holy Spirit tells us through St. Paul that God is exhorting by us. He is showing other people his holiness should be through our holiness in this world. We're reflecting his holiness. And he uses that term, we are ambassadors. A lot of people don't get that whole thing. They don't get embassies and diplomatic stuff. Do you know if a diplomat commits a crime in the country in which he serves, that country can do nothing to him for it? Nothing. Prime example, dating myself, this is late 70s, early 80s. There was a demonstration outside the Iranian embassy in London. And of course, there's cops keeping the crowds back and everything like this. And one of the security guards of the Iranian embassy opened fire on the crowd outside and killed an English policewoman. And guess what happened to him? He got put on a plane back to Iran. That was it. Why? Because he had diplomatic immunity. Because the Iranian embassy in London is Iran. That goes for any other embassy in any other country. When Christ says we are ambassadors of his, this is how directly you should be reflecting his glory in this world. Nobody should be able to tell the difference between you and Jesus. Now, that's a hard sell. That's a real big, some shoes to fill. But nonetheless, that's the thought. And our Lord says it through St. Paul. We have to understand this reality. Because as real as we are sitting here right now, is as real as sitting in heaven after you die, which you are going to do someday. When we understand this reality, it makes us a little bit more serious about preparing for that. Because we got to be careful. Because we are in this life just as Eve was in this life. And the mistakes she made, we make the same exact mistakes. There are a lot of words for it, but let us just say we are slow learners when it comes to learning lessons from other people's mistakes. We do the same thing. She acted on her pride. What she wanted, Adam did the same. What he wanted, didn't listen to what God said. We do that all the time. Every time we sin, that's what's happening. Every single time. I'll do it. I don't care. I don't care. We just gaff it off. We either don't think about it at all, or we justify and we excuse things. It's the same exact thing, working on pride. The second thing is not thinking that God is serious about what he says. We see that he is deadly serious about what he says. We are assured that there are consequences, dire consequences, to not living according with his will. Do we live like we don't? My God's a loving God. He would never. How many times have you heard that nonsense? Yeah, he is a loving God. And he expects you to love him back. And when you sin, you don't. So, the consequences are there. The consequences of Eve's sin and Adam's sin and our sin is death. We will die. That's all there is to it. We will die. However, here's the light at the end of the tunnel. God is in infinite mercy and grace through the work of his Son on the cross. He has even used our death as a blessing. What? Our death is a blessing. St. Paul, to live is Christ, to die is gain. It's not six of one, half a dozen of the other. To live is Christ, that's good. To die is gain. That's better. It's better to be dead. How could anybody say it's ridiculous? Not if you're going to heaven. And Paul wasn't absolutely sure he's going to heaven. He says, I chastise my body that I may not be disqualified. So, you know, that kind of flies in the face of all your friends. Like, once saved, always saved. St. Paul didn't believe that, so I don't think you should either. We can all be disqualified if we don't live according to God's law. As Paul says, to live is Christ and to die is gain, because he understood the reality of the whole thing. You know, little things like seeing Jesus on the road to Damascus and getting up to the third heaven before you die. Those are biggies that'll make you understand the reality. But we need to not be slow learners and learn from him. We need to learn from good examples and shun the bad examples. Our Lord in his grace. You know, I said at the very beginning of this, when he gave Adam and Eve the rule, don't eat of that tree, he integrated sin and death. But he, in his grace and mercy, did not leave it at that. He did not leave it at that. He actually uses death as something beneficial to us when we look, when we understand and grasp the reality that we live in a sin-cursed and fallen world, and that we are sinful, and we are, as St. Paul says, trapped within this body of death. And that doesn't mean our bodies are evil. It just means we listen to our flesh too much. We have to understand that God even uses death to show his mercy to us. I will leave you with the words in this context of one of the earliest church theologians, Theodoret of Cyrus, not a common person that we listen to, but we should listen to some of the stuff he says. He's speaking in this idea of death being more beneficial than life. He bound sin and death together when he gave the law, placing the sinner under penalty of death. And yet, he ordered things in such a way that the punishment itself might serve the goal of salvation. For death brings about separation from this life and brings evil works to an end. It sets us free from labor, sweat, and pain, and ends the suffering of the body. Thus, the judge mixes his love for us with the punishment. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.